Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with all of you here today. Thanks for tuning in and joining us as we continue our series called Aftershocks, looking at how the resurrection continues to impact us here today. How many of you know what this is? I'm sure everyone does. It's a nightlight. And for many of us, we probably have them in our homes, maybe in a dark hallway. A lot of parents place them in rooms for children, so that they won't be afraid of the dark at night. Anyone afraid of the dark? I know that for me personally, that was something that I had a fear of growing up, and even somewhat still to this day. I don't like being in the complete dark. I always like having just a little bit of light. There's one time I remember specifically of this. There's many, but one in particular happened while I was a camper at Camp Camisole. Is when I was in elementary, and Camp Camisole is out in the Wipers Valley, for those that don't know, a very treed area, and we were playing a night game one night. And in that wide game, it was the objective of the campers to try to get to a certain point without the leaders catching you. Well, I was out on my own, and I was in the forest. It was dark, it was late at night, and I was spotted by one of the leaders. Now, they had to tag you in order to catch you. So I thought, you know what, I can outrun them. And so I turned around and I ran as fast as I could. And I ran and I ran until I couldn't hear that leader chasing me anymore. However, what happened was not only could I not hear them anymore, not just them, but I couldn't hear anything. I had gone so far away from camp, I couldn't hear anything that was happening. No campers, not the generator, which was usually very loud and could always be heard. And all of a sudden, this panic and this fear set into me. Where was I? How far had I gone? Would I be able to find my way back? Well, I was really scared, and I remember just kind of changing directions and figuring, well, maybe this is where I need to go. And I heard some voices, saw a little bit of light, and I thought, that's got to be camp. But the closer I got, I realized it was actually another campsite. And this is weird because there is no campsites around Camisole. He would have to go pretty far to come across someone who was camping. And so at that point, then I knew, wow, I've really gone far. And the fear only grew and got deeper as I wondered, will I find my way back? How long will I be out here? Does anyone know I'm gone? I wonder what a fear for you might be. I want you to take some time, wherever you are and with whoever you are with, to share what one of those fears are or a fearful experience that you've had in your life. And if you're on your own, just think about it or share it. And I challenge and encourage you to even share it on our commenting section of the live feed that's happening right now. So we're going to pause, we're going to go there, and then we'll come back together. Well, hopefully you had some time to share what some of your fears are. And if you didn't, I encourage you throughout today to continue to do that and share those with one another. In our scripture for today, that comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, I want you, as we read, to put yourself in the sandals of the two women that we're going to read about, both named Mary. Easy to remember, Mary and Mary. And I want you to picture yourself experiencing what they would have in this moment. Now, to give you a little bit of context, here's what's taking place. Just 3 days before this morning, we read about these women, how they watched their beloved Savior, friend, Jesus, being tortured and murdered on the cross. They did not know what would happen next for them. Life as they knew it was about to drastically change, as a friend and their Savior was dead. And they're now on their way to visit the tomb and to find the tomb open and the body of Jesus gone. So let's read together Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They said to him, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Did you catch how the women were feeling that day when they went to the tomb? They were afraid, and they had lots of reason to be fearful. Fear is real. There's no downplaying that or ignoring it, and we're not here to do that today. But fear was a very real thing that these women were experiencing. As we read through the text, though, Jesus calls us to not be afraid. Rather, he wants us to live in freedom. Jesus, now you might be thinking, Jason, how can we live without fear, given all that is going on here today? Do you not realize the things that are happening? Well, even in all these fears, the resurrection makes it possible for our lives to not be controlled by fear. Jesus speaks those words, "Do not be afraid," because through the resurrection, it is possible to not live in fear. So how is it that the resurrection does that? Well, I'm going to give you three words to remember on how the resurrection allows us to not be controlled by fear. The first word that I want you to remember is trust. When we're fighting fear, trusting in God's promises is where we need to begin. This is because it's the first thing that we often forget when we are living in fear. You see, fear comes when we focus on uncertainty of circumstances. It comes when we shift our focus from God's promises to the what-if scenarios. Think about this for the women who came to the tomb. As I do this, I want to kind of illustrate it a little bit. I want you to think about this jar here as the women going to the tomb, and you can even think about it as ourselves, this being us. Now, coming to the grave, they had expectations of what they must have been thinking that they would see. A tomb that was covered by a stone with Roman guards guarding it. But upon arriving, that's not at all what they found, was it? They found the stone rolled away. Guards that were so scared that they almost looked as though they were dead. An angel sitting on the stone. And in this, fear started to creep in. And fear sets in because of that uncertainty. It's these what ifs. And so this is going to this is going to portray our fears, or the fears of the women there that day. We're going to add it in, and we're going to say things like, what if Jesus actually wasn't the Son of God? What if death had actually won? What if there's no possibility of life without him? What if he never comes back? What if all that we gave our life to was all a sham? And isn't this how life goes for us? If this is our life, it slowly fills with these doubts and these fears. Max Lucado says this. He says, fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. Fear creates a form of spiritual amnesia. It dulls our miracle memory. It makes us forget what Jesus has done and how good it is. When we are fearful, we need to trust in God's promises. This vinegar here, I want to represent God's promises because this is what happens when we add God's promises into our fears in our life. The more of God's promises that come in, the more of the doubt, the more of the what ifs, the more of the fear that is displaced. And so we keep adding in God's promises because as we add in God's promises, isn't it awesome to see how the fear is displaced? The women are met with this invitation and they're reminded by the angel that God does fulfill his promises. What does the angel say to them? He says, come and see. They're invited to see the empty tomb, the sign of Jesus' resurrection. Here they're reminded that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, that he would defeat death and that he would save others from their sin. They began to remember the promises that God had made. Trusting in God's promises push away the fears and anxieties that fill us. I wonder if you would join with me and our church this week in doing something. I think it's important for us that we share God's promises with each other and share the fears that are taking place in our life. And so I wonder if you would take some time this week to shoot just a small little video. It could be you, it could be you and your family. And I want you to do two things. I want you to share a fear that you've had in the last few weeks. And then I want you to go to Scripture and I want you to add God's promise into that fear and share how, in light of that promise, the situation changes. A simple video, what's a fear that you're experiencing? Insert God's truth into it, and then share with us how that has changed it. You can send those videos to me or to our church. We would love to see them and be able to share and post that. What a great way and opportunity for us to share God's truth together. The second word that I want you to remember is this, engage. Here is the interesting thing about fear in my mind. It brings us to this place, if we engage with it, of being able to see the awe and the wonder of God. After the women came to the tomb and were reminded that they could trust in God's promises, the angel sends them out to join with Jesus. He tells them, go. He says he sends them on this mission of spreading the good news. Notice that when the angel sends the woman out from the tomb and tells them to go away, they leave afraid, yet filled with joy. Did you catch that? They leave afraid, yet filled with joy. When we experience fear, I believe it's an invitation from God for him to do something new in our life, for us to join in something amazing. I imagine it being a little bit like this video of this 8-year-old girl. I want you to take a look at it, and then we'll reflect on it together.
I'm fine.
Have fun.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
No snowplows.
Just keep it straight and you'll be fine. Do
okay.
The same thing you do on the 20.
Straight. Do you go faster on the in run?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Is it any steeper, do you think? Not
same,
much?
same steepness, it's just longer.
Well, just longer. Just longer. Just a bigger 20, that's all.
Yep. Have fun.
A bigger 20.
Go ahead. You got
this. I got it.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Just the suspense at the top of the first time freaks you out. That's the only thing. It's so fun.
60?
Huh? 60 seems like nothing now.
I love that video. Pretty awesome, isn't it? That girl had some very real fear in what she was doing. But when she engaged in her fear, look at how it ended. It came with great joy. This relationship of fear and joy. Some of life's biggest moments can bring with them a good-sized helping of each of these emotions, can't it? Have you ever experienced a time in life where you felt fear and joy? Maybe it was becoming a new parent for the first time. The joy of stepping into that, but also the fear of what that was going to mean. Going to a new school. Some joy, some excitement, but the unsureness of how it was going to go. Maybe a new relationship. Fear and joy. This command to go that the women received had to be a little bit scary, which is why they were afraid. This was God's way, though, of inviting them into experiencing something new and awe-inspiring in a time of fear. When we experience fear, we need to engage with it, not ignore it. When we engage in it, God can use it as an opportunity for us to experience something amazing and awe-inspiring. I want you to think about it kind of in terms of this glass. Lots of us look at it and maybe some of us say it's half full. Or maybe you're on the other side and you say it's half empty. Well, we can fix that right now. That's for my own benefit. Now we got an empty glass, don't we? And maybe as we look at it together, we all think about it the same. It's empty. Although, I don't really know if that's actually true. Some people might look at it right now and think, well, it's just an empty glass. Nothing can happen with it. There's nothing, no possibilities. It's an empty glass. What do you want? Maybe others look at it and they say, well, what about the possibilities of what it could be filled with now? So much of different choices and variety of what we could use or what could be put in it. There's endless possibilities. Maybe right now, more than ever, we need to ask God, what are you wanting us to engage in during this time of fear, so that we can see you work in ways we've never anticipated on our own. We've been given, I think, in these last few weeks, a very big empty glass. Instead of seeing what's happening in our world, in our town, in our province, instead of seeing it as a major inconvenience, as a problem, as a stress, as a fear, what if we saw it as a possibility for God to do something awe-inspiring? What if we paid more attention to the possibility rather than the problem? Instead of just saying it's an empty glass and there's nothing good that can come from it, what if we saw the possibilities of God doing something? Craig Rochelle says, extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. What might God be calling you to step out and do right now as a step of obedience, to engage in a moment of fear so that you could experience Him in an awe-inspiring way? The third word that I want to leave you with today when we're thinking about moving fear out of our life is rejoice. Along the way, the women encountered the risen Jesus. And this is great encouragement in the call to not be afraid, because it is assurance that Jesus has not left them. This gives them reason to rejoice and worship. Similarly, we do not need to fear because we are not alone. Because of the resurrection, we can rejoice that Jesus is alive and with us in every storm. Just because we have chosen to follow God does not mean that we are exempt from tragedy, hardships, worry, fear, anything that might cause it. Sometimes I feel we get this idea that when we choose to follow God, it comes with a waiver. Parents, I know you sign a lot of waivers. Maybe we think when we follow God, we get this waiver signed by God that says we're never going to encounter storms in our life. But that's just not true. I want you to think about it in terms of this umbrella. If we were to have an umbrella and we were out in a storm, an umbrella cannot stop the rain, can it? Whoops. It's definitely not going to stop the rain like that, is it? Okay, there we go. If I got this umbrella, it's not going to stop the rain. But it does allow me to stand under the rain. It allows me to not experience the impact of the rain. In a similar way, Jesus doesn't stop the storms and the fear from coming in our life, but He's present with us to provide, to protect, to be our strength and our hope. Remember, as disciples of Jesus, it's not the absence of storms that sets us apart, but rather it's the fact that we're not alone in the storm. The call of the angel, the call of Jesus to not be afraid, is not some guarantee that says life will be easy from here on out, but it's the promise that in whatever difficulties we face, we do not face them alone. For not even death can overcome the great love of God. We can face our fears, admit our fears, and rejoice when we know that Jesus goes before us and leads us. When we experience Him going with us to sustain us, when we trust that He surrounds us and protects us, the Lord invites you to come to Him in all your weakness, all your sin, all your fears, because He will be there. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Take heart today. God is with you. In every situation, every pain, every hardship, He will strengthen and uphold you. Christ wants you to be triumphant in your Christian life. He seeks to save you, to give you what you need so that you can grow and have meaning and abundance of life. In contrast, Satan wants you to be miserable, dysfunctional. He seeks to have our lives marked with fear. But we can take heart and assurance in the truth that Jesus raised from the dead, that He is alive, and in Him I need not live in fear. Death is defeated. The King is alive. When you find yourself in a place of fear, or maybe you do today, trust in His promises. Engage in the battle with fear and rejoice that Jesus is with you.